Yes, and come on, yes.
All right, thank you. I'm going to go mute for a bit.
Brandilla?
He hasn't come on.
Okay.
A lot of static.
There was?
A lot of static.
Yeah,
real
I'm folding
stuff.
some paper bags. Can't hear you with all the static and dogs.
Yeah, I understand. Thank you, Brandy. I believe we're starting in verse 187. And this is in section 21 as we Parashah of Lech Lecha from the Sulam commentary. I'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkinte bitilu urkimu utilu utilu urkimu. Beyakda l'shem yud e bavate. The Yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. Lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayihino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kananeh aleinu maaseh yadeinu kananehu. We all da bezim na di Israel hawo sharan al ara ufal hey ukana de kud shabarihu chikin ta hawat tenu a be naihu wila nafkat mi goi beta levar beit gal yayo Ugin tach kol einun nevin dahawo behahu zina la natlu nevua ela biatra hika amaran Ugin tach yonah hawa ara levar me ara Kadisha delight gale, alea nevua, wilaya hach bishli ho tu, kuta, tikud shabarihu. The translation. Accordingly, when Israel dwelt in the land and performed the services for the Holy One, blessed be He, the Shekinah was hidden modestly among them and did not leave her home nor appear in public. Because of this, all the prophets that existed during that time, namely the time when the temple stood, did not receive their prophecy from outside of her place. Outside of the land of Israel, as we have stated. Because of this, Jonah fled from the Holy Land. He did not want the prophecy revealed to him, so that he would not be obliged to complete the mission of the Holy One, blessed be He. My commentary, this pasuk is clear as written. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, I thought the same thing, but then I have a feeling, knowing Jonah means dove, that at a deeper level it might have something to do with Israel or the soul, but on the surface level, I agree.
Well, that's what my commentary is saying, that it's clear on the surface level, but as you mm-hmm. said, there's a deeper level. And the Baal Shem Tov from the Zohar, from this section of the Zohar, among others, is teaching us that Jonah represents the soul that will be resurrected. And so the idea of him going outside of the Holy Land, running away from Hashem, is not, you know, the Zohar is telling us here that he did not want to complete his task that Hashem was giving him. And so by going outside of Israel, he was thinking Hashem would limit his voice to Jonah, and he would not have to do the task. Of course, that's an absurd statement, isn't it? Where can you run and hide from God? Even outside of Israel. It has to be absurd, because there's no limitation to God. So what is the deeper meaning of this question? Why did Jonah leave Israel? And we know from today's world and from the sages who've written about today's world, we have many souls that are born in the land of Israel. And then what happens? They grow and they go into the army for a couple of years, and then they travel for a couple of years. And then they say, oh, I'm going to leave this land of ours, this Israel, and I'm going to go where there's the material wealth. So they come to the United States, or they go to India searching for spirituality, or they go to another country. And how do we refer to those people? The land vomited them out. This is the direct translation of the phrase that describes these people. They are vomited out. Now apply that to Jonah. The land vomited Jonah out. What did Jonah do wrong? Why would the land vomit him out? We know that the people being vomited out today, we know those people are attracted to physicality. But we can't make that statement about Jonah. Jonah's a prophet. He's not running away from spirituality. So maybe he's one of those people running to India. But it can't be that either. Because we know running to the gurus of India, they're teaching idol worship.
My thought on Jonah is that maybe he thought his vessel couldn't handle the negative side and that he would come under control if he would have gone to the Nineveh and tried to persuade them to follow Hashem's way. But maybe he felt like he didn't have the merit or a strong enough vessel to conquer that quest.
Well, I think it was because he just didn't believe. He didn't think that the people deserved being forgiven or given a chance to do teshuva because of the way they were. Because wasn't it supposed to?
Why were you judging people? Hannah, why would a prophet judge people that are not Jewish? Why would he judge them as not being capable of doing teshuvah?
I don't think he just didn't agree with Hashem. I mean, your father tells you to do something and you don't agree with him. You know, it's kind of a picture of the same thing. And even though he's a prophet, he's still a human being and he still has feelings and all.
Yeah, no, you're right. If you don't agree with your father, you get up and leave the house. And that's what Jonah did.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't the father go search for you among the homeless?
Mm-hmm. Well, when the father is Hashem, you know he's going to come get you. So he's not going to give up on you. Mm-hmm.
When I was 8 years old and I threatened to run away, my mother said, let me help you pack.
That's what I tell my children. Let me help you pack.
So she helped me pack. And then an hour later, I came back with the package, with the suitcase that I had taken. But she didn't help me unpack. So I learned my lesson. So did Jonah learn his lesson? What happened? He told the people of Nineveh to repent, and they repented, and he was still upset with God. So what happened? He fell asleep under the miraculous tree that grew, right? The tree that takes 70 years to bloom, bloomed in one night. These are the lessons. What are the meaning of the lesson? There's clearly a deeper explanation, isn't there?
Yes.
The simple level to say that that Jonah left because he wouldn't pay attention to God. It doesn't make any sense on the level of a prophet. And we're struggling with what's another explanation? You know, and I have said to you before, the explanation that occurred to me comes through the gematria, that Nineveh is 121, and Tarshish is 1,210. 10 times 121. And that can't be a coincidence. The prophet was saying, I don't want to go through this process of letting them do teshuvah. And then let's complete the process in one step. Let's run to Tarshish, where it's 10 times 121, where the people of Nineveh will complete their process in one step. That makes sense to me. It still does. But I haven't heard it from a teacher. I haven't read it from any of the sages' writings. So what is the real meaning of it? And for that, we'll have to go on to the next pasuk. Unless there's still questions.
That was the first time that he rebelled, doing what Hashem wanted him to do.
No, the first time that Jonah rebelled against Hashem?
I said, I wonder if it was.
In the book of Jonah, the first time is what Hashem speaks to him and says, go to Nineveh and tell the people of the city of Nineveh to repent. That was his task. He was given the task. But he didn't like it, so he ran away. That's what this verse in the Zohar is explaining to us.
But I think there also, because when you were reading right at first, when it said the Shekinah was hidden modestly among them and did not leave her home, right at first I didn't quite know what that meant. But then Rabbi Ashlag put outside of the land of Israel in caps, so it gave meaning to it. But I think they're trying to say that at that time, prophecy just happened in the land of Israel. So if he got out of the land, he wouldn't have to.
Prophecy has always only happened in the land of Israel, except one time. And that is, I think it's a.
Is it probably?
I think it's Zechariah's prophecy at the river Kfar. I'm not sure if it's Zechariah or one of the other prophets, but when the people were vomited out of the land and went into exile in Babylonia, that I think it's Zechariah had the prophecy of comfort, the prophecy that Hashem promises them to come back to the land because they could, you know, they couldn't believe it. They had lost God. They had lost their connection to God. They lost the temple. And they're devastated. And in order to elevate them, to lift them up, God one time gives prophecy to the outside of the land of Israel, to one prophet. It even describes that this prophet heard what he heard, but the other two just trembled. They didn't hear anything. that just reinforces our understanding of what it means to be a prophet. God is in control of prophecy. When he wants you to have a task, when he wants you to tell the people something, to tell the children of Israel something, he shows you, he speaks to you, or he shows you a vision, or in some way he communicates that you have a task to do. Go do it. Jonah said, no, I'm not going to go do it. I'm going to go the other way. I'm not going to go to Nineveh. I'm going to go to Tarshish by ship instead of Nineveh by land. But you raise the question, what does it mean for the Shekhinah to be concealed modestly among the children of Israel? Remember what Moses said. He's talking about the building of the Mishkan. Or Hashem is speaking to Moses, talking about the building of the Mishkan, and he tells them that we have to build a Mishkan in our hearts. Each individual has to create a space for Hashem, a space that he can hear Hashem, a space that he can see Hashem, a space that allows Hashem to communicate with him. Not with his intellect, because then the space would be in the brain, but in the level of the emotions. We're about out of time. But if there's other questions, we can still go.
Okay.
Are there any other questions?
That'll help us remember the 121. It didn't stick the first time.
Baruch Hashem. To me, it's a very important understanding.
I can see that, yes.
Because what does a human being want? The end justifies the means. Let's not go through the process. Let's just make it happen now. Isn't that what every human being wants? You know anybody who wants to go through the process? Is looking forward to doing things step by step and doesn't want to jump up from one ladder rung to the third one and then skip the second one? I don't know anybody who doesn't want to skip the second rung. Of course, present company on the phone is accepted. But why do I run the mantra? Why do I keep saying the adage, step by step? Because the lesson of Jonah is you cannot skip the steps. You have to do it the way he wants it. You can zig and zag and run all over the place, but you're still going to have to actually run and do the step down that central column the way it's supposed to be done according to Hashem. Everybody's quiet. Randy, I'm sure the dogs have stopped barking, so you're welcome to ask a question.
Boy, you really know how to make a crowd be quiet.
Is that what I'm doing? And I thought I was transferring information. I didn't realize I was making you not talk.
It's because they're curious. We don't understand why he didn't want the prophecy to be revealed. You know, so you ponder, so hopefully we're going to find out.
In the next verses.
Maybe they didn't have the vessel to hold whatever the revealing revealed.
No, when he went, they did listen and they did repent, and Hashem forgave them. Now, years later, they did the same thing. I think that time
they went back.
Wasn't a happy ending.
Right. Hashem gives you one time to fix things, but if you don't, you know, there's another consequence. The same one that you had, only it's a little bit worse. Remember what a tikkun actually is. You have a good evening.
Okay.
You too. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.